Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game, so just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back. Here we go again. So happy to be with you guys, as always, and always. And I am very fortunate to have another co-host today. Had one yesterday, have one today. I love bringing my friends and soul fam into the mix. And this is a brother, friend, longtime friend that we've been talking about doing this for, what, a couple years? Connor Evans. Aloha. Welcome, Connor. Welcome, welcome. Woo! Yeah! We finally got together here in 3D at my studio. We always cross paths in the transformational festival world for years and years. And we've been talking about doing this. And so, yeah, he's actually going to have, we're going to do a full interview to talk about all the magical things and perspectives that he has to share. But since he's here staying with me for a few days now, the interview will be down the road in a couple weeks. But I figured it's funny, of course, as always, we have synchronicity. Half the shows that we do, you guys know, like I mention it all the time, things will bubble up and then I'll get a question. And it, to me, it's an indicator, oh, this is what I should talk about today. So Connor, you and I were talking this morning about social media and sort of the negative effects that can exist from that. And sure enough, I got a question right when I checked my email after. So I thought, you know what? Come on, Connor, you're on the mic. We're not pre-interview and we're going to talk about it. We're going to take that question in a minute. Nice. So, yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm grateful to be here.
So let's see here. Where do we start? We could jump right into the question. Actually, before we jump into the question, I'd like the other thing that you were just talking about, I think is really, really interesting. Yeah. You were reading some stuff, listening to some stuff from Greg Braden.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. Why don't you share that perspective that you were just telling me a few minutes ago?
Yeah. Thank you. So Greg Braden is an amazing researcher, and he's focuses on health and the mind-body connection, the heart-mind-body-spirit connection. And I've known for a while that it's important when manifesting or co-creating our reality to feel as if it's already happened and to feel the joy and the gratitude and the overwhelming joy bubbles of whatever it is that you are visualizing in your mind, in your first eye, third eye. I call it the first eye. It's a fun upgrade.
I like that. So we have lots of those, by the way. What was the other thing that you were just saying? The powers that were.
Yeah, the powers that once were.
I love that.
So it's really realizing, you know, as Daniel Raphael said, Aiden, he now goes by Aiden. Mm-hmm. When I first heard this on Positive Heads, was abracadabra, with our words are creates. Mm-hmm. With our words we create. So with our thoughts and our words we create. But what I found this morning, I was watching a presentation by Greg Braden, and he's saying that the heart is actually more powerful than the mind. And so then I watched a newer video that he had released in August of this year, and he's saying that the scientific instruments that they have for measuring the heart field, the electromagnetics of the heart. And so he's saying that electrically, the heart is 100 times more powerful than the brain.
Wow.
And then he's saying that magnetically, the heart is 5,000 times more powerful than the brain.
That's incredible.
So if we're just setting our intentions from the mind and we're not bringing in and focusing on the heart center, so it's really creating that feeling within our being as if it's already happened and feeling that joy that sends the toroidal flow of the heart and actually broadens your capacity to manifest, but to broadcast that electromagnetic signal to the field, to the quantum field. So if we're just coming from our thoughts, we're really limiting our capacity. And one of the things that the heart does is by creating its own toroidal field, it creates a space within us that's relatively free of any external influences and external programming, whether it's from the media or from whatever it is, the politics, the news,
right?
Which I imagine many positive heads just skip out on, which is great.
You get 2 gold stars, people, for every news channel that you don't listen to.
You skip. Yeah. So that was really powerful for me, really hearing the scientific verification of what makes sense and what I feel, but seeing the actual numbers behind it.
Yeah.
So 100 times more powerful electrically and 5,000 times more powerful magnetically. So your ability to magnetize the experience that you're putting out into the quantum field is enhanced 5,000 times. And he was also saying that we've often thought of our heart field is going out a couple of meters and that they're now seeing that it goes out kilometers.
Wow.
So when we move through a space, we're transforming that space based on the energy that we're holding within.
Right.
And so being out at Standing Rock and having the beings there who want a better world, but they're coming from a place of anger and judgment and from a place of something should be other than it is, then that anchors that reality into the field.
Right.
And so
that goes right along with the sort of what you resist persists
for
idea,
sure.
Right?
For sure. Like any judgment that we have of the quantum field needing to be other than it is anchoring that duality judgment consciousness into the field.
Right.
Rather than just this is the way it is, I fully internally accept that. And as a co-creator of the quantum field, I put my intentions into out of the infinite possibilities, bringing this one into existence. And in that process, this one will dissolve.
Right. Now you guys see why I wanted to have this guy on for the last few years. It's awesome. That's, you know, it makes me think, are you familiar with heart math?
I've definitely heard of Heart Maths Institute for a while, and actually at Burning Man this year, did you see the toroidal interactive?
I didn't go. This was the first year, and it was, like 7 years, I skipped out.
I think it's perfect that you didn't go. This year was really actually intense, kind of like a microcosm of our world. It was the most unconditional love and unified consciousness vibes that I've ever felt.
Wow.
But the darkness and the dissonance, the shadow aspect of the spiritually unconscious was more pronounced,
prominent, really,
and obvious.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like a microcosm of our world, and one of my dear
the
brothers.
The contrast is just jumping out more and more.
More obvious,
right?
And
right.
So that's part of the apocalypse, which I learned out of Standing Rock just means the great unveiling. I always thought it was end times.
Negative.
And what it did is it commandeers our collective creatorship to resist the apocalypse rather than embracing the apocalypse, just the great unveiling where we get to see what's been hidden and just remove our energy from it. So that's kind of what I experienced out at Burning Man, is just the dissonance and unconsciousness was making itself visible. And then we can just remove our energy and attention from it and focus on the unconditional, loving, and unified consciousness vibes. But being out there this year and seeing this giant toroidal, lit up toroidal flow, and they had these machines that you could sit in and it would measure your heart. And so they were trying to get the group to breathe together and come into coherence and then see the toroidal structure that's like 50 feet tall reflect that coherence.
Right.
So it was really powerful to come upon this thing and see that these things that have been, I would say, systematically just hidden our creatorship and the power of our emotions and thoughts to shape our reality. So I've saw a bit of it there, mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with what they do, and I've seen some of their beautiful diagrams, mm-hmm. But I haven't dove in and done much research.
Check out a while back. What are we? This is we're in 580 episodes ish right now as we record episode 166. So going back a little ways. The CEO of HeartMath, Deborah Rosman, was on the show. So any of you guys who are interested in learning more about this topic and HeartMath, go back to the archives and check it out. It was a epic interview. And yeah, and of course, as you've heard Connor mention, he was out at Standing Rock for how long?
2 months. Twice. Yes.
So we'll dive into that on the interview because that's a lot to do with some of the things that we're going to talk about on that.
Yeah.
But what I would like to do is switch gears a little bit to our question here.
Perfect.
So this, once again, we were having this conversation just before I came and checked my emails, and then I'm like, okay, obviously this needs to be addressed. And the question is from Brooke. And Brooke said, hi, Brandon. Have a bit of a longer question for you that might be either too far out in left field to address on the show, or alternatively, right up your alley. Come on, Brooke. There's no too far out on the show. But I like your consideration. I'm wondering about your take on social media and its impact on society, namely, and the destructive, negative, addictive quality that social media can have. E.g., constantly scrolling one's Facebook or Twitter feed for updates, people posting stuff, seeing likes, people arguing with or being cruel towards strangers online over politics, etc., because it's happening in a virtual space that seems less real than in person. Mm-hmm. There's a question here, I suppose, of your advice on how people can stay positive and use social media for good. But really, I'm interested in what you think this all means for society going forward. In particular, I'd love to hear your take on this recent Stanford talk from a former Facebook exec who said the short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops in social media we've created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistruth. So we are in a really bad state of affairs right now, in my opinion. It is eroding the core foundation of how people behave by and between each other, and I don't have a good solution. My solution is I just don't use these tools anymore. I haven't for years. And then she sent a link to the actual former Facebook exec talking about this stuff. And I believe I caught part of that. Other than that, she said, do with this what you will. Thank you for considering my question. Also, as always, awesome work for you. Work you're doing with the show. Sorry, I can't read today. And so thank you, Brooke, for writing in. It's a wonderful question. It's one we were just talking about prior to getting it. And also, just before I forget, for those of you who would like to write in questions, you can do so like Brooke did to my email, brandon@positivehead.com, on the positivehead.com website, or on the Facebook group Positive Heads. You can connect with all the other amazing P-heads out there. And so now that I got that out of the way and read the long question the best of I could, Connor, please answer this question.
So a couple things come to mind, but it was funny because this morning I was posing to Brandon, like, how do you deal with your emails? Because mm-hmm. I've just gotten behind on my emails. I used to keep my inbox at zero. And then you know when you have a new email so you can pay attention to it. And it really, between Instagram and Facebook and email and all the messenger apps of Instagram and Facebook, and then you've got Twitter, which I don't really use. Mm-hmm. And then email, it just adds up to, I mean, you could spend all day just in communication and on your smartphone, your EMF box.
Your EMF box. That sounds like a bait for our forthcoming interview.
So in the specifics of this question, though, when we're talking about people not feeling like they're being held accountable for their actions on unanimous online forums or just on social media, what one of my favorite journalists and researchers and authors, David Wilcock, he talks about how if you are pursuing what's really going on in the world, then online, you know, you're potentially going to engage with beings that are judging and criticizing and mm-hmm. being being kind of intense and negative and destructive, as Brooke puts it. So he says that in people doing that, they feel like they're anonymous online, but I'm sure many Positive Head listeners are familiar with the Akashic Records and just the idea that there's an energetic imprint from all our actions that ripples in eternity. And when you look at, some people call it astral projection or remote viewing, but the capacity to move our consciousness outside of space-time mm-hmm. and to observe things that have happened or timelines that potentially will happen, and stepping out of the idea that time is a linear process. And the intelligence communities of our planet and the militaries of our planet have put a lot of energy into remote viewers and developing the most skilled RVs, they call them.
Right.
So realizing that every being that's putting out negative or destructive or judgmental comments online is in the quantum field and outside of space-time, all of those actions are being documented. Even if they feel that they're being unanimous online, on a spirit level, those actions are still being recorded. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of my most useful things in putting information out there that challenges the conditioned consciousness is any being that's judging you or projecting negativity towards you, they're just wiring that judgment neural pathway in their own brain.
Right.
And then when they don't live up to whatever goals or structures that they have for themselves, or conditioned beliefs or conditioned values that they have for themselves, then that neural pathway that they've hardwired judging other people turns and judges them. Mm. So mm-hmm. any being who's in the judgment consciousness can't be that joyous and fulfilled and excited about life because they're experiencing that judgment
internally. Right.
So kind of just letting people do their thing and trusting that they will learn in their own timing and process, and that it's just a reflection of their consciousness, which is, you know, ultimately we're all interconnected. So it's a reflection of our larger consciousness. But there's no need to take it on personally. And if you do want to look, you know, like criticisms, like in Autobiography of a Yogi, a great book, Sri Yukteswar says to Paramahansa Yogananda — Sri Yukteswar was Paramahansa's teacher — and he says that he most welcomes the beings that criticize him mm-hmm. or like point out things that he could be doing better. And he tries it on and mm-hmm. see if there's any truth to it, just mm-hmm. sits with it in stillness. And then if there is, he adjusts accordingly. If there's not, he just releases it.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. Whenever someone is challenging you, is to look at yourself and say, okay, what is this? I may not like what they're saying, but is it helpful? And maybe their delivery sucks, and a lot of times it does, right? We see online a lot of sucky delivery, right? But is there something there for me to find the, as I always reference, finding the diamond beneath the lump of coal, right? And so I think that's important. Now, as far as the dopamine piece that you touched on, I agree with that. I've experienced that in the whole, I'll find myself if getting sort of in an addictive state on social media and scrolling and all those things. And I notice I feel depleted from it when I'm sort of like attached to my phone. And I believe you're right. But just like anything, there's pros and cons to this stuff. I mean, something that can heal millions can destroy millions. Water is the best thing on earth. It can also kill you. I mean, everything is sort of neutral, and what you do with it determines. So what I would say the most important thing is not Brooke getting hung up on you know, all the bad that's doing. Maybe instead focus on all the good that it's doing, because it's doing both. Look at the Positive Heads Facebook group. A lot good is happening there, unless you just sit there and scroll nonstop until you feel like you're on drugs, right? Or which can happen. That's the dopamine thing that you're talking about. So one of the things, Connor, in our conversation this morning, you talked about is when you lost your phone you left your phone somewhere for like a month, and talk about that experience.
Thank you. Yeah, I was perfect segue because I was just about to chime in.
Yeah, you're like, I'm telling it whether you ask for it or not. No, but,
I love, you know, we really are stepping into a shared consciousness and realizing that thoughts aren't personal.
Yeah, truly. Like, that's such in itself. Like there are, it's like we were talking to our friend Chris Jackson the other day, and he's talking about sharing some really great ideas. And he was like, well, these aren't my ideas. They're just, you know, I'm downloading them. They're coming through me. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's truly more and more the case, you know, this mm-hmm. collective consciousness. And as we become more aware that it exists, the more prominent it becomes and the more
energy that it gets, and the more powerful our collective intention becomes, the more we believe in it, as with anything.
Yep.
So I left my phone time-lapsing at an event. My friend Taylor, he has a co-working space called Upload VR for virtual reality. So I left it was their opening party for their office in LA, and I left my phone time-lapsing. And I just left it, like, propped against a rock and went to dinner, mm-hmm. and then came back a couple hours later and it was gone. So I thought, well, either somebody stole it or, you know, somebody brought it somewhere. But I didn't find it that night. And, it's a really beautiful practice. Like, all of these things, when our mind says something's gone wrong, it's an opportunity to practice being neutral in that experience.
Yeah.
And as we practice with the little things, like Eckhart Tolle says, with a dog barking or a car alarm going off, and making ourselves just transparent to the sound, so it mm-hmm. just passes right through us and mm-hmm. there's nothing inside of it for it to bang off of. Mm-hmm. When we practice with the small things, then when something like, oh, my phone just disappeared, then it's easier to not ripple any negativity out into the quantum field. And as we're all co-creating the quantum field, if all of us could just maintain pure positivity and joy for a day, the external reality would just transform,
right.
like automatically, instantaneously. So that was a beautiful practice, and I really felt proud of myself for, oh, my phone's gone, and I'm totally at ease with that.
Why is this happening for me?
Right? Why? Perfect. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening for me? So then I went to Palm Springs, and then I got back from Palm Springs a couple days later, and I found out that they had my phone in the office. I didn't have a car at the time, though, and I was up in Hollywood, and I was just kind of I really enjoyed my weekend without my phone.
Yeah.
And so I went about a month without having it. And now it's actually much easier to just leave my phone and not think about it or have it have any control over my consciousness. And it's just a tool that I use now to connect with people when I want to. And I also will just like put it on airplane mode for a half a day and just like not worry about it. And I'm also in a specific situation where I've created that ability, and mm-hmm. I don't have somebody externally that ever really has to get in touch with me.
Right.
And I kind of first started learning this concept from the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss, where when he travels, he'll just he won't answer his email or his phone calls when he's traveling abroad. And people just learn that and then adjust accordingly, so emergencies don't really happen or come to him. Something that came up when I was just saying this now, though, is that it's almost like fasting. So when we fast, like I fasted for the first time this year for
Intending to do that. Yeah. I haven't quite got the guts together yet to do it because my gut is too powerful. Speaking of guts.
It was my friend Will, who I was living with at the time.
How many days did you go? Sorry, I didn't want to get
3 days.
Okay, cool.
So, but what it does is, by fasting for 3 days, then it's so much easier to believe that you can go an evening or a morning without eating. And it's mm-hmm. so beautiful to free ourselves. My friend Max calls it the breakfast, lunch, and dinner industrial complex. Mm-hmm. And to free ourselves to realize that, like, one big meal in the middle of the day when the sun's highest in the sky, when our digestion is firing, that might be enough. And so what it does is it makes it really easy to not eat for an evening. So if I'm out and there's no good food at the restaurant that I go out to, like, I'll just drink on my water bottle. And then you're not putting pesticides in your body. If you're, you know, out at a restaurant that doesn't have organic options, then you're not putting those chemicals in your body that then your consciousness has to process, that artificial intelligence that is now in your biological being and needs to be processed out. So it's kind of like with the phone, by taking a month off of even having the phone, now it's like I use it when I want to and when it feels good, and then it's much easier to just not participate when I realize that I'm in that scrolling mode. I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm scrolling, and I'll just stop now.
Yeah.
And it's the same with food. So it's like using social media and our pocket computers to benefit our well-being and the well-being.
Not control and run us.
Right. And just like food, using food to benefit our well-being and the well-being of the planet, because when we're eating pesticide-laden food, we're poisoning Earth's ecosystems in the process. So it's participating when it's in alignment with our values, mm-hmm. and then and it really comes down to like taking a technology fast for mm-hmm. me. That helped out a lot, and I'm not saying you have to do
that. Yeah, it's a rewiring of your brain it's when a you rewiring. Do that, and you're just bringing awareness to the issue. Don't get don't fall into the judgment sort of this is bad. Just be aware, and it's providing you an opportunity to. It's like everything. It's helping you to sharpen your axe, right? It's like if you want to, no smooth sea ever made a skilled sailor. It's that kind of thing. If you're sharpening your axe, you're getting better at learning how to navigate all these things that have a shadow side and a light side, and it's almost everything, right? So it's a beautiful thing to understand that and not get sucked into like this is bad, because it's not all bad.
And what I see with the Facebook exec saying this, so the short-term dopamine-driven feedback, so he's kind of seen the inside of it, and it's like, somebody who's worked for an investment bank and comes out and is like, the whole thing's fucked.
Right.
What's the deal with language?
It's fine.
Pardon. With investment banking, that's one of my... practices in dissolving polarities.
Right. Exactly. Like,
not judging our current money magic fiat system. So what this guy's saying, though, is he is focusing on the negatives. And the way that the stories, for instance, in Instagram are set up, where it's like 10 seconds, mm-hmm. that's, for me, I feel is detrimental for our attention span. Mm-hmm. So, just to make sure that we're watching hour-long presentations, as well as scrolling through our 10-second feed, so that mm-hmm. our mind doesn't get stuck only craving and wanting mm-hmm. the quick bursts of information, mm-hmm. and we can still have the capacity to dive deep and get something that's more integrated and wholesome and holistic in its perspective,
right?
Rather than just like quick little bits of info.
Right. Yeah, it's all how you use it, it uses you, right? And so, yeah, this has been awesome. You guys can see why I have been wanting Connor to drop in on the show for quite some time. You're an amazing individual with amazing perspective. I really, really appreciate you sharing and co-creating here today, man.
Love you, brother. Thank you.
Love you too, man.
It's an honor to have the opportunity to talk to all the positive heads out there.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really powerful community in terms of collective focused intention. It's a beautiful platform that you've created to transform and upgrade and evolve consciousness. So,
well, as we're just talking about, it's like, it's not my platform, it's our platform. I just was the catalyst, and yeah, I'm nice. Really proud of that fact. But yeah. These guys are, even on the Facebook group, they're running with like meetups and connecting with each other and supporting each other. And it's like the most beautiful thing to watch. And even especially, obviously one of the things we got talking about this morning was answering emails and all the flood of things coming to us. And mine is ever increasing. And it's so great to not like I'll see a great question on the group and then the answers are so awesome. I'm like, yay, I don't need to get involved. Other people are bringing clarity to each other. And mm-hmm. I love that. It's such a beautiful, beautiful process to watch unfold. And yeah, you guys give Connor some love on the Facebook group. Thinking about it now, maybe next time we'll even stream it live when you're here.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So cool. Well, you will be hearing more from Connor Evans and myself. Thank you guys, as always. And I have given over the DJ booth to Connor, as I tend to do when I have a co-host. And what do you have queued up for the listeners?
Oh, amazing. So I first heard this song with my Red Lightning crew that I met out at Standing Rock. We went out to Burning Man together, and I stayed. The event ends on really Sunday night, and then people kind of pack out and leave Monday, and we were there stuck in dust storms till the next Friday, so like 5 days.
Whoa,
of cleaning
really?
Up. Yeah. And we listened to this song a bunch during that time, so it's beautiful chorus, and it's called The Waves We Give. You can find it on Spotify or SoundCloud, probably any music streaming
platform.
Beautiful.
Well, hope you guys enjoy. I absolutely love this song. He just played it for me right before we started, and hope you guys love it as much as we do. Until next time, journey well. Love you all.
Love y'all.
Thank you.